Dr. Elisa von Jordan-Forgie is an assistant professor of Holocaust and Genocide Studies at Stockton University in New Jersey, United States. Also the first vice president of the International Association of Genocide Scholars, she has done specific studies in the use of sexual violence as a weapon of genocide. Dr. Jordan-Forgie was invited to address a special event at the United Nations headquarters in New York on April the 28th, organized by Archbishop Bernardita Auza, Apostolic Nuncio and Permanent Observer of the Holy See to the United Nations. The event, co-sponsored by Mars Libres, Citizens Go, and In Defense of Christians, had as its theme, Defending Religious Freedom and Other Human Rights, Stopping Mass Atrocities Against Christians and Other Believers. Dr. Jordan-Forgie specifically addressed the discussion on Christian and Yazidi women and girls as sexual victims of crimes against humanity. According to her, sexual violence against women and girls is an integral part of ISIS genocide methodology, as it is in most genocides. She recently visited refugee camps in Iraq to assess firsthand the violence by ISIS and said the Islamic State commits many forms of genocide targeting Yazidis, Christians, Shabak Shia and Turkmen. In our edition of The Backgrounder today, we bring you the testimony of Dr. Jordan-Forgie.
I was in Iraq for 10 days in January 2016 with two other genocide scholars, Irene Massimino and Shell Anderson. We were there to witness ISIS's crimes by visiting refugee camps, mass graves, destroyed and emptied towns and cities, and meeting with religious and community leaders from religious minority groups. While we were there, we were overwhelmed by the trauma and the suffering that has been inflicted on the refugee communities. But we were also overwhelmed by the kindness, the generosity, the hope, the courage, the dignity, and the resolve of the Iraqi people, especially the minority religious communities in refugee camps throughout the country. In speaking with refugees from Christian, Shabak Shia, and Yazidi refugee communities, what became quickly clear to me is that ISIS is committing an intense form of genocide against all peoples it considers to be unwanted religious and ethnic minorities in the region. ISIS uses many techniques to commit genocide, so genocide is expressed differently depending on ISIS's understanding of the group that it is targeting. For example, ISIS targets the Yazidi with one of the oldest and most well-defined patterns of genocide. The direct killing of men and older boys combined with the mass rape, enslavement, and expulsion of women, girls, and younger boys. A similarly murderous pattern has been directed against members of the Shabak Shia group, whom ISIS considers to be apostates. Christians have been terrorized, abused, forcibly displaced, and have had all their belongings taken from them, including necessary medicines, the clothes off their backs, baby supplies, and sometimes even their shoes. They have also been kidnapped, raped, and murdered. Sexualized violence against women and girls is an integral part of this genocidal process, as it is in almost all genocides. We know that over 3,000 Yazidi women and girls were captured by ISIS when it overran Sinjar in August 2014. Of those, according to numbers kept by the Yazidi community as of December 30, 2015, 1,804 are still in ISIS captivity. Captive women and girls are subjected to horrific physical and psychological tortures, and many have been killed or have committed suicide. There are reports of ISIS raping very young girls in addition to adolescents and women. Women considered to be too old to become sex slaves have been massacred. A similar fate has befallen the Shabak Shia women and girls, and there are, of course, many cases of Christian women being forced into captivity as well, in addition to the abduction of Christian children. The sexualized violence committed by ISIS is part of a much wider pattern of reproductive violence that is evidence of genocide. Such reproductive violence, which has both a cultural and a biological dimension, is a well-known and efficient genocidal tactic, since the harm done is so deep and extends broadly to the family and the community. The point of genocidal reproductive violence involves destroying a group's ability to perpetuate itself as a strong historical community in the future, and hence it involves the widespread life force atrocities that target the deep bonds and responsibilities human beings feel for one another as well as the symbols of those bonds. Life force atrocities have been committed against families and communities in Iraq in characteristically cruel and alarming ways. Before being taken captive, many women and children have been forced to watch as male family members are separated from them and killed, including young boys. As we know, ISIS has murdered outright over 3,000 Yazidi men and boys and has captured at least 2,000 more. Families are forcibly separated and young children have been kidnapped to be raised to become ISIS fighters or ISIS wives. These children are terribly mistreated and terrorized and are often forced to commit atrocities. Women have been raped in front of their children. Children have been forced to watch their mothers murdered. Women and children in captivity have been brutally separated from one another. There are reports of ISIS forcing captive women and girls to have abortions. Victims from the minority populations are mocked and humiliated routinely, often in public. ISIS forces some captives, especially young girls, to call their families in refugee camps and report to their families the abuses they are suffering. Before being displaced, many communities have been imprisoned in their homes, starved, plundered, and terrorized on a daily basis. We heard reports of many Christian families who paid the jizya tax and still had everything taken away from them. Some were murdered. Christians who were forced to convert were often not spared displacement, plunder, and even murder. Some who refused were killed. After being starved in their homes, elderly residents of the ancient Christian town of Karakosh, for example, were deprived of all of their belongings, bused to a remote region, and forced to walk alone to the Kurdistan Regional Government. One mother of five had her little three-year-old girl, Christina, ripped from her arms by an ISIS soldier before the bus left. One elderly and frail woman had to drag her husband most of the way after he harmed his foot and began to lose consciousness. Refugees in Erbil report being called on their cell phones by ISIS soldiers and mocked, humiliated, and terrorized. Alongside atrocities committed against individuals as members of groups, we have the destruction of religious institutions and other symbols of cultural heritage. One estimate I heard recently from a Yazidi leader is that ISIS has destroyed 70% of Yazidi shrines. An assistant to the Syrian Catholic Archbishop in Erbil spoke to us about the Al-Tahira Church near his home of Karakosh, which dates back to the 6th century and up until at least January 2016 had only been partially destroyed. "I am a son of the land. My name is written on every stone," he said, referencing the deep ties his family has to that place. "If it is destroyed by ISIS," he continued, "I will leave Iraq." This dense network of terror and degradation, this combination of mass murder, sexualized violence, sexual enslavement, starvation, forced displacement, humiliation, plunder, the desecration of cultural symbols, and the kidnapping of children has all the hallmarks of genocide. Genocide is a complex process that aims to destroy not simply the bodies of group members, but also their identity, their hearts, and their souls. In taking aim at the deeper bond of love and responsibility that tie communities together, as well as the cultural representations of these bonds, ISIS is attempting to eradicate religious and ethnic minorities, not only from Iraq, but also from the face of the earth. ISIS seems to operate in the knowledge that these groups are very small and will have terrible difficulties sustaining their culture in refugee camps or as a diaspora scattered across the globe. In the knowledge of this terrible crime and tragedy, it behooves all of us to work toward the return of refugees to their ancient homes, the rebuilding of what has been lost, and the guarantee of their security. As one Yazidi religious leader said to me, "The world is like a flower where each petal is a people. Each petal has its own beautiful color. Do not let the color of the Yazidi people fade from this earth." The same can be said of the color of the Iraqi Christians, the Shabak, the Turkmen, as well as all other religious minorities in the region and in the world who are threatened with dissolution. Let us not let their colors fade from this earth. Thank you.
That was Dr. Elisa von Yodin-Forgey, Assistant Professor of Holocaust and Genocide Studies at Stockton University in New Jersey, United States, speaking about the ISIS atrocities on minority communities in Iraq. She spoke at a Holy See-sponsored event at the UN in New York on April the 28th. Just before Dr. Yodin-Forgey spoke, Samia Sleiman, a 15-year-old Yazidi teenage girl, gave a heart-wrenching testimony of her ordeal under the ISIS in Iraq. Captured by the ISIS along with her family in northern Iraq in 2014 when she was 13, Samia spent 6 months and 12 days in captivity among thousands of Yazidi women and girls until she escaped and took shelter in Germany. She said that ISIS soldiers killed men and older women, including her mother, but kept girls as young as 7 as sex slaves, who may be sold or given as gifts to ISIS fighters. Often breaking down in sobs and tears, narrating her story, she earnestly pleaded with the international community to stop the genocide before minorities are totally wiped out. This has been The Backgrounder, a weekly feature of Vatican Radio's English Service for Asia.